All right. Good evening. We're continuing with we're in Perek Aleph. Basically, the previous week we saw the first vision that Yirmiyahu was shown of the Makel Shakei, that almond branch. We analyzed what the symbolism and the significance was. So move on now to the second vision that Yirmiyahu has from Hashem. If you look in, we're up to Perek Aleph. Just a second. Yeah, Yud Gimel, correct. Vayhi Devar Hashem Elai Shenis Lemor Ma Atal Ro'eh. What do you see? Va'omar Sir Nafuach. I see this bubbling pot on you. Ro'eh Lefana Vipnei Safona. So this boiling pot. In the English translation, they translated as a bubbling pot. Okay, whose foam is towards the north, or the spout is towards the north. Now the quick thing, the first thing I'd point out, if you look in the, oh, you don't have the redak. I'll tell you the redak. Vahidavah Hashem Shenis, Masha Omer Shenis. Ah, it says, you know, a second thing. Lefisha Shtei Hamaros, these two visions, Hai Be'inyan Echad. Even though it says a second time, it's really this, it's a continuation of the Nevuah. V'afal pi shadavaram hanirim lo nishtanu. It was seen that the things that were shown to Yirmiyahu were changed, because first he saw the almond branch, and now you're being seen as a boiling pot. Omer ki be'inyan ze nira lo fam shenis, right? Shashalu gamkein ma'ata ro'eh. He asked him a second time, right? Well, what do you see? Upiris lo gamkein hamashal. Explains the mashli says toicha mare. V'loshabal l'saper amim shenira lo. Fine. So the idea is that it really is a continuation of the first one, even though it does say, in fact, that he saw it a second time. So a powerful... There was two parts, two distinct things that Yirmiyahu was shown, as one, you know, called part A, part B, but it was all one experience.
But, so it sounds like Paro, where there were two different dreams, but they were the same meaning. You're saying it's
interesting. Some actually explain that even Paro had only one dream, but he had a dream within the dream. That was the chaf that Yosef had that no one else could chaf, that realized that that really it was all part of one big dream that part woke up. So okay, but you know, Pashupshah is not that way. Pashupshah was two separate dreams, but here we're saying this is two visions that were connected, right? At the same time. I mean, it happens sequentially right after the other, right? Vayomer Hashem, Eli Hashem says, Mitzafon Tipatachara, the evil is going to start from there. Al kol yoshvei haaretz. So all those who are living in the land. So what's in the north? So Rashi tells us that the northern kingdom was Bavel. Bavel at Tzafona she'aretz Yisrael hi. Now this is we explained this is a shock, because right now Bavel is not the world power. If you recall, Ashur, right, the Assyrian Empire, was the world power, and they were a dominant force. The Assyrian Empire had very advanced, for those time period, very advanced war techniques. I believe, if I remember correctly, they were the ones to make a type of bronze weaponry. And they were very successful, and they were terrifying. They used to do gruesome things. They would impale the bodies upon their victims and parade them around. And they had in their Assyrian temples and castles, whatever they called them, their places they would have these big tributes to all different places, and they would spread out throughout the country, and they would have not battalions, but they would have like legions of soldiers camped at certain places. They have a stronghold on every nation throughout their country. It wasn't like, you know, you're thousands of miles away and then you have to wait for them to come. They were right there. And they also, if I remember correctly, again, I'm getting calls from Mr. Eitan Kastner, a history teacher at Frisch, who gave me a lot of background behind the Assyrian Empire and why these people were so scary. They were the ones, I believe, who were the first in their military to have a double riders, where one person would be riding the horse, the other one would shoot with the bow and arrow. So it's this form of archery. It was tremendously successful, and they were a terror, and they were basically conquering the whole Middle East. But now, again, it's always important to understand the background, the historical background, when the Navi's living, who he's talking to. He's saying, they're done. that powerful, terrifying empire, it's a time of upheaval, is what's happening. And on the one hand, that's great, because when you have upheaval, you can make a big change. On the other hand, the people are confused, and they're scared, looking for guidance. They don't know who should we follow, what should we do? So he's telling you now, you know what? Above who's the kingdom from the north, the other ones are going to come down, and they're going to be attacking you. There's a Mitzvah David. says upon of pnei resicha, this boiling part of the pot, makom shemalan resicha meruba, the most in his vision that Yirmiyahu sees of this boiling pot, the hottest part of it that was boiling was towards the northern side of the pot. And that's how he knew that he did. But you have, I think, five different things happening in this vision. Let's try to break this down and figure out what's the symbolism behind this. Again, because we saw last week what the symbolism was of the almond branch. So what is the pot, the seer? What do you think that represents? What's the pot? The boiling pot. Take a guess. So Babel is going to be coming from, they're the ones who are going to be coming from there. Oh, that's the boiling over part. So the Mefarshim learn that the seer, the pot itself, is Yerushalayim. Is Yerushalayim, okay? Which, because at this point, you know, we don't know that's what it's going to be. The Eish, that's the end getting stronger, right? The fire, if you can imagine, there has to be a fire underneath it. So that's the end that they're coming out. So what's the Basar? The meat, you have something inside the pot. That's the Nesara, right? That's the people who are inside the city. I'll show you one second. There's a Mitzvah's Dov, and he says, Mitzofom Tipasach Hara'a. Ze Yirmaz Asher Mibavel Ha'omedes Mitzofom Tipasach Hara'a. That it's going to start from there. Ki Ad Heina, up until now. Ki Iluhai Hara'a Kishura Leval Tavo. It wasn't going to happen. Viata Huter HaKesher. It's been unleashed. The Tavo Hara Al Yoshve Eretz Yisrael Himshilu Lasir. They'll be compared to this pot. Lomer Kimo Hasir Ma'afsina Nesachim Elav. Just like everything gets brought together inside, you know, you're making a pot, you're making a stew, and all the things come together. Right? Va'achaze Marsichin. Osun Kain Kulam Yichnesu B'Mitzor Ha'ir. You're all going to gather together inside the city. Va'ha'oyev Yilachim Bo. And then he's going to make a battle against you. So that's like the people who are the incited, right? And we end in from the north is where it's going to come. That's from Bavel. Now, this protection. Normally, when you have a pot, there's something that's covering it. So what's that protection over the pot?
The Ribbono Shel Olam,
right? Very good. But now, if you think about it, how did Yirmiyahu see that it was boiling? If the cover is there. Right, must have been off. So must have been that protection has been removed. So that's again part of this nevuah. I'll read a minute there from the Malbim. Let's go a few more from I think the Radak Ruhai says Hasir Hi Yerushalayim. Okay, Tesvav Hihinini Kore Lechol Mishpachos Mamlechos Tzafona Nuum Hashem. I'm calling out to all the nations, the families of the north. Uvav V'nasnu Ish kiso pesach sharei Yerushalayim va'kol chol mosech sabi va'kol arei Yehuda, and everyone should set up their throne, their part that's camped around. What's the idea behind everybody coming in and placing their seats there? So the Malbim says something amazing. The way the Malbim learns is that the idea behind this is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the non-Jewish nations of the world to make like a Beis Din. They're going to paskin. There's going to be a Din Torah between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. And that's this idea, the symbolism behind everybody coming and placing their chairs there. The Malbim on Tez Zion says, V'Hashem Yisader Mishpato V'Tanosav Lifnei HaShoiftim. He's going to give over his claims in front of the judges. Al Amo, Al Korasam, all the things that they did. V'Vakesh Din Meitam. To make a Beis Din from them. So what is the problem? He says there's three things that the Klal Yisrael did. Let's go to the next pasuk. V'dibarti mishpatai osam al kol ra'asam asher azavuni. You've forsaken me. They left it, right? So if you would have just, you know, left me and not served other nations, then okay, that would have been bad. But not only did you leave me, says the Malbim, that's the first thing. V'yakatru l'elohim acherim. And you were like machdir kitaris, right? That you sacrifice to others' gods. And the third thing you did wrong was v'yishtachavu l'maseh yideihem. That you things that were empty. This is like a throwback to Avram Avinu, right? You know, you the medrash that he smashed all the idols. You you know these things are worthless, and nevertheless, you still bow down. So those are the three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling.
What's the difference between the Yachter and Mishnachav? I mean, they're both obeyed by the Zara. Like, what's the...
So the way the Malbim, I'll read you the Malbim, the way the first thing is that you left me, one. Two, is that not only did you leave me, you went to other gods. And third thing, these were like Masa Yedehem, these were like your own things that you created, that you knew were worthless. That those are the way that the three complaints, so to speak, that Kosh Baruch Hu has on the Klal Yisrael. V'ata tazor masnecha, gird yourself, v'kamta, get up. V'dibarta leim, you're going to speak to them. Es kol asha anochi atzavecha. All the things I'm commanding you to say, al teches mipneihem ki achitcha lifneihem. Don't, we're going to get like crushed before them. The way he learns is you're going to be broken down by them. Don't get dismayed. But you see from the fact that Yirmiyahu has to be given this chizik at the beginning of his mission, that he's basically told in advance, this is not going to be easy. Yudches v'ani hine nesaticha hayom le'ir mivzar. Amud Barzel, Lachomas Nechoshes, Akol Haaretz, meaning I'm making you a fortified city, right? With iron and wall with copper, like all these strong images of being protection, like little metaphors over here. The Malki Yehuda, now for the people you have to talk to, you have to talk to the kings of Yehuda, L'Sareah, to the officers, the Kohaneha, to all the Kohanim who are doing things wrong, L'am Haaretz, all the people. You have to, you know, bring this message out to all of them. The Mitzvot David says, where is it? V'satati hayom, satati koach biyadcha lios chazak ki'ir mivtzar. I'm giving you the ability to stand up to like a fortified city. And that's a powerful, you know, visual idea about a person having to be strong like a city that's being fortified because they're going to be so aggressive towards you. V'hisgaber akol ha'aretz v'choyzer meforesh Al Malchi Yehuda, Al Sari Yehuda, Al Kohanim, Al Kol Ha'am Ha'aretz, Mieser Ha'am. You have to speak to everybody. And the concluding pasuk in the parak, V'nil Chamu Elecha. They're gonna make a war against you. You're gonna have to go out and fight the Milchama. V'lo Yuchloch, but they're not gonna be successful over you. Ki Itcha Ani Nu'um Hashem L'Hatzilecha. I'm with you to save you. But they're going to try to kill you. And as you know, this is the opening. If you remember, we saw the Yabar Benel. He's 15 years old. He didn't have any choice about this. He's told, this is the Nevuah that you're going to have to do. And I'm going to be strong there to protect you. But what do we see from, again, this is really the intro to the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu. First of all, we talked about the idea how he was chosen, right? And he didn't really have a say in the matter. That he was selected, right, while he was still in utero. We see the message that Yirmiyahu is going to have to give is, we saw six verbs. Four of them were destructive ones, which the majority of his message is going to be negative. But they're also two positive verbs about planting and building. And that's going to be part of the Nebuah of Yirmiyahu as well. And then we also saw the Perek had two different visions and the symbolism behind each of them about the Makel Shaked, the almond branch that's quick because the Churban is imminent, and then the Sir Nafuach, which we talked about tonight, the idea that this boiling pot and all the symbolism is what each piece of the metaphor represents, but the idea that the bubble is now going to come, and we know that where is, right? Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan is going to come, and they're going to destroy the base of Migdash. Those are the two visions for that, but at the end, we close out the parak with a little bit of hope. Meaning that it's going to be very difficult. They're going to try to kill you. You have to deal with a Navi Sheker. They're going to say that you're lying. They're going to do all terrible things against you. They're going to make a trial against you. And all this is going to happen. But the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to save you. I'm going to protect you. You don't be afraid. I've got your back. But these are some of the key points and themes of the first Perek in Yirmiyahu. And Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll start with in Perek Beis, where we actually hear the Nevuah that Yirmiyahu gives. What is the message? Now he has to go start talking to people. What exactly are the words that the Navi gives? And they'll be very familiar with us because we call these poetic images, you know, Ad Hayom Hazeh. Okay, Shkoyach everybody. Thank you for coming. Yeah.